This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes. Jack McKenna here. It's Thursday, November 2nd, 1950. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news and the latest on the assassination attempt of President Truman. And we have a superior couple who went blueberry picking just yesterday. That's right, in November.
Makes a body wonder what's happening to our climate.
And Lou's got a brand new toy, a tape recorder. And he's already gotten an exclusive interview with Senator Joe McCarthy. Boy, that's a big machine you've got there, buddy.
It's a wonder of technology. It's a Trix reel-to-reel professional recorder system. I love it.
I'll bet. Lou's already yelled at me for getting too close to it.
You have an unintended but nevertheless destructive history. But we have more important news about yesterday's assassination attempt on the president.
Right. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Kappas Garage. If your Dodge or Plymouth is in bad shape, bring it in for a complete workover. New rings, rods, bearings, oil chains, all for just $39.95 at Kappas Garage in Superior. Well, good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. A probe has been launched to learn if others are involved in the assassination attempt on President Truman. We begin a series of reports from Washington.
This is the nation's capital. Jack Bell reporting. President Truman's guard was increased and extraordinary measures taken for his safety today, while the Secret Service dug into whether others were involved in the attempt by two fanatics for Puerto Rican independence to kill him. The investigation here centers on questioning of Oscar Collazo. The 37-year-old is one of two men who tried yesterday to blast their way with pistol shots into Truman's official home, but were cut down by the bullets of guards. Collazo fell on the steps of Blair House, Truman's temporary residence, while the White House is being renovated. Collazo was shot in the chest, but is reported to be in fine shape today. His companion, Griselio Torresola, was killed by a bullet through the head. Three people were wounded in the battle. One, 40-year-old private Leslie Coffelt, died last night. Collazo was formally charged with Coffelt's murder. The investigation is in New York as well, with its large population of Puerto Rican natives. Collazo and Torresola came here from New York. In New York, a charge of conspiracy in the assassination attempt was brought against Collazo's wife, Mrs. Rosa Collazo. She is in jail on $50,000 bond. In the youthful Torresola's pocket were two letters signed with the name of Pedro Campos, head of the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party, violently anti-U.S., which attempted a revolution in the island possession this week. The tiny Nationalist Party seeks independence for Puerto Rico. It is on the Attorney General's subversive list as advocating violent overthrow of the U.S. government. The thwarted assassination effort is the first conspiracy, a plot involving two or more people, to kill a president since John Wilkes Booth shot Abraham Lincoln a mile from yesterday's gunplay. It was a proud day for the Secret Service, whose agents were on the job and whose uniformed corps of White House police bore the brunt of the battle. But two in the latter force, Private Joseph Downs and Private Donald Birdsell, lay seriously wounded in emergency hospital. Birdsell's knees were shattered. Downs is in critical condition with chest and stomach wounds. In another hospital room, the wounded Collazo was sullen. "Oh, just political," he said when asked why he came here from New York 2 days ago to make the attack. In the nation's capital, this is Jack Bell, Associated Press.
This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. It was an afternoon of yellow Indian summer sunshine, heavy humidity, and a record-breaking 85 degrees. It was shattered by the staccato of pistol shots just after 2 o'clock. Secret Service Chief U.E. Bauman gives this account. Collazo, strolling up Pennsylvania Avenue from the east, and Torresola coming up from the west, had timed themselves to arrive at the same time in front of Blair House. Collazo passed the east sentry box without attracting the notice of Officer Joseph Davidson and Secret Service Agent Floyd Boring. Collazo got within 10 feet of the Blair House entrance canopy. Private Birdsell stood at that point, his back to Collazo. That's when the Puerto Rican drew his gun and pulled the trigger. The gun didn't fire. Birdsell whirled at the sound. Collazo then shot him in the knee, while Birdsell backed up onto Pennsylvania Avenue, blazing away with his gun. Before he fell, Boring and Davidson opened fire as Collazo made a dash for the door. The desperate man was cut down on the front steps. To the west, a similar scene was playing itself out. Torresola opened fire on Kofelt and Downs in the opposite sentry box. In the replying fire, and Bauman is unsure whose bullets hit, but Torresola crumpled over, shot squarely through the head. Meanwhile, Press Secretary Charles Ross says President Truman was the calmest man in the place. Awakened by the shots, Mr. Truman peered out his window overlooking the front of Blair House. Policemen shouted, "Get back! Get back!" He did. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Stan Turner. President Truman took his usual early morning walk today through streets which 17 hours earlier echoed with the blasts of would-be assassins' guns. Apparently unperturbed by yesterday's attack on the temporary presidential residence, Mr. Truman stepped briskly down the canopied Blair House walk at exactly 7 a.m. Six Secret Service men fell in around him as he reached the sidewalk on Pennsylvania Avenue, passing over the spot where police bullets had dropped one gunman. Mr. Truman waved and smiled to newsmen and photographers and stepped briskly along the street to the east end of the White House grounds. President Truman says he feels he was never in any danger from the assassination attempt and is sick over the death of the police officer who was fatally wounded in his defense. Speaking of Private Leslie Kofelt, Mr. Truman told reporters, quote, "He was one of the finest fellows you ever knew, and he was murdered outright. It just makes you sick," unquote. Mr. Truman's statement that he was never in danger clearly is meant as an expression of confidence in the men who guard him. Quote, "I was not in any danger. I never have been." In Washington, this is Stan Turner.
This is Max Jordan in Seoul. There's a sudden reversal of fortune in the war against the Korean Reds as Allied troops approach the border with China. The U.S. 1st Cavalry tonight abandoned attempts to rescue one of its regiments surrounded in northwest Korea by communists, including Chinese Reds. The trapped men were ordered to try to break out on their own. Some already have done so. Normally, a regiment totals about 5,000 men, but the undisclosed number trapped was less than this. Escaped and heavy casualties have reduced the number. The encircling forces, including Chinese Reds in strength, turned American weapons on the isolated Americans. Origin of these weapons was not clear. They may have been taken long ago from Chinese nationalists who were supported by the United States. Unsan is 66 miles north of Pyongyang, former Red Korean capital, captured last month by Allied forces. Division Commander Major General Hobart Gay says the regiment has been very badly hurt. A spokesman told AP correspondent Tom Lambert the rescue team ran into a stone wall of resistance. The Reds' hot onslaught is the newest and mightiest in their redoubled fight to block approaches to the Korean-Manchurian border. A U.S. First Army Corps spokesman said the situation is very serious in the entire northwest sector. In Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
This is London calling. Arthur Wallace, your correspondent. The century's most famous playwright, George Bernard Shaw, died today at the age of 94. The life of the frail old Irishman wit, who massed a fortune by poking fun at the shortcomings of this civilized age, flicked out at last at 4:49 a.m. Shaw was born in Dublin on July 26, 1856. A tumble in his garden on September 10th while pruning a tree proved the undoing of the self-styled Napoleon of drama. He broke his left thigh bone and was taken to Luton Hospital to have the bones pinned together. The author of 55 plays, 5 novels, and countless essays, the best of which were turned out after he was 40, Shaw is credited by many critics with revising British drama after its golden age of Goldsmith and Sheridan. No stickler as to modesty, Shaw considered himself the successor to Shakespeare and even an improvement on the Bard of Avon. The self-described journalist, critic, playwright, and agitator never tired of attacking the social wrong or the phony. He exposed slum housing, prostitution, class distinction, and short-sighted politicians. His acid comments ranged from religion to doctors and tax collectors. A teetotaling, non-smoking vegetarian who lived on quantities of soups and juices, Shaw said a man could not hope to reach a state of intellectual maturity if less than 150 years. In London, this is Arthur Wallace.
Mass arrests of farmers were reported by the East German communist government today. It's an effort to stop hoarding of a blighted potato crop in the Soviet zone. From Saigon, Vietnam, French forces carried out ground and air sweeps from their new defense perimeter along the rich Red River Delta, but gained no important results. An official census figures put the United States population at 150,697,361 people. That's an increase of 19 million people since the 1940 census, the greatest 10-year gain in the nation's history. California, Florida, Michigan, Texas, Maryland, Virginia, and Washington had the greatest gains. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Jack McKenna has this message from Kappas Garage.
Indeed I have, Lou. Kappas Garage asks you, does it run like the wreck of the Hesperus? Tell you what we're going to do, friends. If your Dodge or Plymouth is in bad shape, better drive in today. We will restore original pep and power to your car by installing new factory-approved piston rings. Clean all the old carbon out. Remove upper cylinder ridge. Change the oil. Clean oil lines, pump, screen, and crankcase. Inspect rod bearings. I knew him well, rod bearings. If bearing needs replacing, extra charge for bearings, no extra charge for labor. Complete. $39.95. Genuine Mopar parts. I say genuine Mopar parts. From Kappas Garage, 1318 Ogden Avenue, in Superior.
Now, that exclusive interview with Republican United States Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin. In it, you'll hear him confess to not having proof against people that he's been accusing of being communist or communist sympathizers. We bring this interview to you from the new technology of a tape recorder, which is replacing the wire recorders of years past. Now, Senator McCarthy. Senator, you promised to show me proof of communist activity in the State Department and other branches of the federal government. Can I see that proof now?
The international communist conspiracy. Mr. Martin, this is very difficult for me. It is with the heavy...
Dang!
Careful, Lou. Little kiddies are listening.
We're having some technical difficulties at this moment. We hope to bring you this interview in a few minutes. Ashland is being courted in the final days before the November 7th election. The Knight Hotel hosted Democratic candidates for U.S. Senate Thomas Fairchild. Fairchild is running against Republican Alexander Whiteley. Quoting Mr. Fairchild, "To meet the challenge on the home front, we must inspire in our people a fighting faith in American principles. By loyalty to our Constitution, we should insist not on communist witch hunts, but promotion of the general welfare," unquote. Democratic candidate for the 10th congressional seat, Rodney Edwards of Superior, also spoke. And Jack and good listeners, Sadie Hawkins Day of funny paper fame will come true tomorrow night at Ashland High. But there will be a slight variation. Instead of the girls chasing boys with marriage proposals, they'll haul them off to the dance at the gym that night.
Wouldn't that be great, eh? Not have to worry about asking a girl to the dance and getting turned down?
I don't want to talk about that. I'm trying to fix my tape recording device.
Well, come to think of it, I remember when Gladys Burpee chased you down the hall and caught you, too.
I didn't run very hard. Not like you and Edna Payne.
I never ran so fast in my life. I could have made the track team if Edna was on my heels. Now, get that tape recorder fixed. Here's the forecast for this Thursday night, November 2nd, 1950. We're in for a hard freeze tonight, folks. The Indian summer we had this week around the state is gone with the gales of November. After temperatures of 79 degrees, things got, well, shivery this morning when the low dipped to 30. Tonight's low will be 26. And tomorrow's sunny high, sunny, will only be 40 degrees. Winter is on its way, folks. Let's start things off with Johnny Horton and the Battle of New Orleans on the Martin and McKenna Show.
¶¶ Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton fields and didn't say a thing.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket, still we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we seen their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well.
We fired our guns and the British kept them coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down, so we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind, and when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Rip, 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 rip,
Johnny Horton and the Battle of New Orleans on KUWS. Hey guys, the Ashland Outlet Store is having its pre-hunting sale. Men's heavy sweatshirts, just 98 cents. All wool boot socks, 69 cents a pair. Well, of course, you need a pair. And to put over those socks, Ashland Outlet Store owner Jack Jacobs has brand new, get this now, brand new Lumberman's Packs at just $4.99 a pair. U.S. Navy K-Bar hunting knives are on sale at $1.66. And all-wool Army sleeping bags for just $5.88. See Jack Jacobs at the Ashland Outlet Store, 507 West 2nd Street, phone 1644. That's 1644. And here's more music, friends. This is Les Paul and Mary Ford and How High the Moon on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above, and love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me, yes, I love you. Somewhere there's music, I'll dare how far. Shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, still my heart, how high the moon. Somewhere
Les Paul and Mary Ford and their 1950 hit, How High the Moon, on station KUWS. Say, Lou, how's that new tape recorder of yours? Did you get her fixed?
I think so. It was nothing, just a little glitch. These modern recorders can be a little temperamental.
That's why I called it a her.
And ladies, address your remarks to Jack McKenna, care of KUWS Radio in Superior, Wisconsin. All right, now an exclusive interview with United States Senator Joseph McCarthy, recorded yesterday, where he admits to uncertainty as to the number of people that he's documented proof, if any, who he's labeling communists or communist sympathizers. Senator, you promised to show me proof of communist activity in the State Department and other branches of the federal government. Can I see that proof now?
The international communist conspiracy. Mr. Martin, this is very difficult for me. It is with a heavy heart that I confess that I do not have any substantial proof of.
Dang.
You heard it here first, folks. An exclusive interview where Senator Joe McCarthy says,
I'm not in the mood.
Sorry, buddy. The blueberry pickers. That's right. Blueberries in November are in next. Maybe that'll cure Lou's blues, too. Let's listen to the four lads and Moments to Remember. Something we try to do here on the Martin and McKenna Show.
January to December, we'll have moments to remember.
The New Year's Eve, we did the town, the day.
Four lads and Moments to Remember on station KUWS.
Let me introduce the Vernon Aspinwalls of Winter Street in Superior. Good evening.
Blueberries in November. It's unbelievable, but it's true, every word of it. Cross my heart and hope to die.
If that cross your heart thing really worked, I would have buried you a long time ago, Vernon dear. I'm surprised at you, Lou Martin, falling for one of my husband's whoppers.
Whoppers?
This is the God's honest truth, folks. Vern showed me the blueberries himself before I invited him on tonight.
Did he take off the price tag from City Market?
Duped again.
No, no duping, no duping. Not duped, Lou. Not duped. It is true. I was bird hunting, walking down Wisconsin Point, and got to the end of the point. I swear to you, blueberries galore.
Like Vernon says, it was blue with blueberries.
This from the guy who got the telegram to do a story about the freshwater sharks he saw on Lake Superior. Makes me wonder what you've got stashed out there, honey pie.
I assure you, sweet pea, this is the truth as the day is long. Why, there were so many of those blueberries I filled my kettle. There's plenty more out there. Come and see.
First my tape recorder, then blueberries in November.
Vernon, dear, that can't be, and you know it. It's best to tell the truth to these nice people. I've known Vernon since we were in grammar school, and he's always had to have attention. He means well, but really, baby cakes.
Except for the lying, it sounds like you have a nice marriage.
Oh, he's my sweetums. I don't mind the stories. He's a good man. He brings home the bacon. He's attentive. Takes out the garbage and shovels the snow. He can even cook.
Sounds like someone I'd like to marry.
Maybe it was a late crop of blueberries. Maybe it was a second crop. Who knows? All I know is that there were more berries there than I could carry back. Really? Honest, John, I didn't buy them at the market.
I've got the head of the local grocers association on the phone. Mr. Peabody says it's urgent. Good evening, sir.
I like Mr. Peabody.
Not Peabody. Mr. P. Period. Body. You always do that to me. Well, you wouldn't appreciate it if I called you Jacana, would you?
Mr. Body, you called to clear up this blueberry whodunit?
Hello, Mr. Body. This is Mrs. Aspinwall. I'm sorry Vernon Deer is putting you on the spot, but I thought it was best that we once and for all end this charade.
Say it isn't so, Vernon. Say it isn't so.
My fingers are blue from picking.
Well, fact is, Mr. Aspinwall has been known to spin a few yarns. He's infamous among us grocers for his World War II scare that the government was going to ration toilet paper. I'll never forget the run we had on Charmin.
He was the first one to call us about the Japanese balloon bomb that he thought that he saw back in 45 over Superior.
All honest mistakes.
Like I say, Mr. Aspinwall has a certain reputation, but this time I believe he's telling the truth, Mrs. Aspinwall. Blueberries are out of season. None of our members have carried them since the end of September.
I rest my case, Honey Bunch.
How did you know Lou liked to be called Honey Bunch?
Thank you, Mr. Peabody of the Grocers Association, and to the Vernon Aspinwalls for sharing their incredible story.
I'll make a nice blueberry pie for you, Pumpkin.
Lou would appreciate that.
He's not talking about me.
That's good. I thought he was getting fresh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Time for one last number, folks. Brand new from Tommy Edwards. This is It's All in the Game on the Martin and McKenna Show.
May a tear have to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know. You have words with him, and your future's looking thin, but these things your hearts can rise above.
all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet bouquet.
Tommy Edwards, and it's all in the game on station KUWS. Lou Martin has this news bulletin for us.
From Puerto Rico, the presidents of the Nationalist and Communist Party were locked up today in an island-wide roundup touched off by the Puerto Rican revolt and the attempt in Washington on the life of President Truman. The government convinced the communists helped spark the two-day revolution in this island territory of the United States, vowed to round up all important communists as well as nationalists. By noon, they had 130 people in the net, and the hunt is continuing. And now, I have that interview with United States Senator Joseph McCarthy. Senator, you promised to show me proof of communist activity in the State Department and other branches of the federal government. Can I see that proof now?
The international communist conspiracy, Mr. Martin, this is very difficult for me. It is with a heavy heart that I confess that I do not have. And have never had. The international communist conspiracy.
Dang!
Lou? Aspinwall Martin.
I'm not making it up, really. Senator McCarthy admitted, oh, never mind. I'm just mortified about the whole thing.
Where was the tape recorder made?
I don't know.
Look on the back. That's it. It must be somewhere there.
I don't see it.
Friends, stay tuned for Mr. District Attorney and the great Gildersleeve. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and Lou doesn't try to tape the show in advance.
Found it. It says, Made in Occupied Japan.
Oh. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Don Hansen, Danielle Kading, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.